itself is time of the tension and security class of everything. Just as you know, part of the service of the year, everything that we've been having over the year, and this will be the last one for this term of government. I am accompanied now by the chairperson of the cluster, Minister Mkhepa, who is the Minister of Justice and Security, on my right. And then I also have the Minister of Justice, Minister Tutsi. I also have on my left the Minister of Intelligence, Minister Kwele, and the Minister of Home Affairs, welcome, Minister. Colleagues, without the waste of time, I will invite the Minister with the chairperson to read the statement to you, and then the panel will be available to answer questions. We also have a DG of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, and also have the Assistant Commissioner Drake, who is also assisting the response of the questions. Cape Town, I take it we can hear us for
loud and clear.
Yes, indeed, we can.
Program Director, thank you. colleagues, ministers, members of the media, Dumela, Bamba, Apshe. Well, thanks, Program Director. Over the past 15 years,
for democracy, the Justice Crime Prevention and Security Cluster Department have undergone a mammoth transformation in terms of their doctrine, which today are based on a human rights culture, a more representative workforce and systems of accountability. These enormous changes were born out of the myriad of statutory, non-statutory, and former homeland structure that existed prior to 1994. Government systems were modernized to enhance the performance of departments, and significant partnerships were formed with communities, businesses, academics, civil society, and the media. To this end, government recognizes the importance of these partnerships, including in the safety and security arena, to achieve our goals of halving poverty and employment by 2040, and as such, creating a better life for all. The report represents the progress made by JCPS cluster as part of the regular report deck on the work done by the various clusters in pursuit of the APEC priorities identified at the beginning of 2008. Central among the objectives of the cluster is ensuring a seamless, comprehensive, and integrated approach. If we take up APEC 18, for instance, the impact of the National Crime Combating Strategy implemented in earnest in 2002 is evident in the positive reversal of almost all crime trends. However, challenges remain, such as the shift in the pattern of crime and the violent nature of crime itself. We experience successes in our crime prevention and combating operations during the festive season. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember that just before the festive season, we had to outline this very program. This we attribute to the three-pronged approach that firstly placed the emphasis on intelligence-driven operations and the analysis of the data we get out of that. Secondly, a partnership with communities and law enforcement agencies, such as traffic officials, local government structures, and so on. And thirdly, a zero tolerance approach to criminals. In the issue of sexual offences, a victim empowerment program, stakeholder summit, was hosted by the Department of Social Development. Its purpose was to develop an action plan for the role of non-governmental organizations in their partnership with government. An agreement signed by the Minister of Safety and Security and the USD has made $2 million available to train such members as well as prosecutors in the new legislation on sexual offences. The NPA also hosted a sexual offences in Nava, which dealt with challenges and successes of the Tuzela Care Center as well as anti-rape strategy. On APEC 19, there has been a significant decrease in the backlog of the regional court cases from 20,452 in November 2006 to 11,297 in December 2008. On average, we have finalized 11.5 cases per month, which is nearly double that of the normal regional court. To deal with overcrowding in correctional centers, government has endorsed a model to establish a dedicated branch or division with the Department of Correctional Services, headed by a Deputy Director General, which will focus on management of awaiting detainees and remand detainees. On April 20, on the partnerships and communication on fighting crime, a number of communication initiatives, such as Start With You, the Movement for Good, and the Active Citizen Initiative in partnership with the International Market Council are underway. The Strategic Business Partnership for Growth in Africa also launched a reporting collaboration with the presidency on the impact of crime on small business in South Africa during the mid of July 2008. Action for a Safe South Africa, a civil society initiative, is an inclusive, constructive social movement that enables all South Africans to contribute to making our country safe through sustained action that prevents crime. On the issue of reserves, policy reserves, we continue to increase the reserve capacity in recognition of their critical importance within our system. The Ministry of Safety and Security will host a summit on reserves on Thursday, the 19th of March 2009. This aims to strengthen the current role and the future of the reserve. On the Community Policy Forum, despite challenges in certain areas, a significant number of CPFs continue to function. The National Community Policy Consultative Forum remains focused on mobilizing communities in the campaign act against crime together. Successful partnerships continue in rural safety, farm watches, neighborhood watches, and sector police forums, including organizations such as Business Against Crime and media houses such as Prime Media, the Gahiso Group, and the South African Corporation. These projects aim to mobilize support and participation by all sectors of society in the fight against crime. The establishment of communication partnerships around crime fighting and the strengthened public confidence in the law enforcement agents in the fight against crime. The Directorate of Priority Crime Investigation, following the adoption of the South African Police Service Amendment Act and the National Prosecuting Authority Amendment Act, it has been agreed that the joint team will take joint responsibility for all aspects of the joint operational running of the DSO as soon as possible, after the 1st of March 2009, to ensure an effective and constructive process. The head of the new unit will be appointed by the Minister of Safety and Security after discussion with the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development. As you know, that the appointment will also be ratified by Cabinet. On the review of the CJS, the review of the CJS is an intervention complementing the existing government initiatives to combat crime. especially focus on addressing the weaknesses and shortcomings within the daily functioning of the PJS. The PJS review has been broken into five streams: the legal and cultural framework, capacity modernization, performance evaluation, and governance. A draft report on research conducted has been finalized, and right in this regard will continue in the new administration. On April 24th, priority is 24th. The Military Skills Development System's main aim is to rejuvenate the SAMPF, provide the staff skills, as well as serve as the feeder system to the defense reserve. Since the establishment of the MSDF in 2003, the SAMPF has recruited and trained over 23,000, of whom 12,000 have been appointed in the regular. More than 5,000 are available for the reserve service. It is encouraging to note that 2,150 captains, after completion of their MSDF service, have been assisted by the Department of Defense to find employment in the labor market. Among the 12,000 MSDF recruits who are with regulars are members who are receiving scouting training to become pilots, engineers, professional health workers, naval combat officers, airspace controllers, and technicians. On the issue of vetting, as part of counterintelligence mandate, the NIA has made significant progress in its vetting rollout. This has in part been enhanced by the establishment of vetting field units, which have increased capacity for vetting. The use of technology has also expedited the process of vetting. On the forthcoming event, planning for both 2009 elections and the Confederation Cup has been completed. To ensure an environment conducive for a free and fair election, a comprehensive joint operational and intelligence structure is in place. The security services have adopted an intelligence building approach to determine the deployment of reaction forces to identify hotspots. Close to 20,000 police stations will be secured around the country. The security minister will, in the near future, provide a detailed briefing on the state of readiness for the forthcoming election. On the securing the South African passport, the Department of Home Affairs has, as part of its turnaround process, employed a multi-pronged approach to improve the security of South African passports. A new South African passport with highly complex security features will be introduced in April 2009. The Counter-Corruption Unit continues to work in partnership with the South African Police Service and the National Intelligence Agency to identify persons involved in corruption and fraud within the department. During 2008-2009 financial year, 66 Home Affairs officials were arrested and a further 18 suspended on allegations of fraud. On human trafficking, the Human Trafficking Awareness Campaign, led by NPA Sexual Offences and Community Affairs Unit, on behalf of government, will soon launch a trafficking awareness campaign. A national task team represented by the Department of Justice, Health and Social Development has been set up and is working on the National Action Plan to establish policies and to allocate departmental responsibilities to ensure that South Africa meets its legal and moral commitments. The program is intended to support the coordinated efforts of the South African government and civil society, focusing specifically on the country's needs and responsibilities as a destination country for trafficking in 2010. This 12-month program has a regional component to it, which will serve as a means of disseminating best practices, exchanging information, and coordinating activities with other countries to address human trafficking, with particular focus
Thanks very much, Mr. Colleague. We're now ready for questions. We'll take three questions at a time. Please indicate the media house and also indicate where you're directing your questions. I indicate to the panel. We start with Victoria.
Just on the GDPR, do you have any timeframes for the appointment of the head of that unit? And also, you had a response to the newspaper report this morning that the FATF-GIP unit to intend down to.
Another question, Victoria? Okay, Victoria seems to be thinking. Keep going.
Yeah. Michael Hansen from iNetBridge. I'm interested in what you had to say about the new passport. Two questions. One is, when do we all have to hand our old passports in? And secondly, could you describe to us some of the security features which are built into the new passport?
Michael, I'll allow the minister to answer that question, but you will appreciate that the minister can speak about the security elements in public. But the minister will respond to your question. Any other questions,
Yes, Wanda Mahati from Business Day. With reference to the Sheikh matter and to parole from prisons, if a man has offended the public order to the extent that he loses his freedom, surely that same public has a right to know the conditions under which he regains that freedom, perhaps to Minister Mthethwa and Minister Suti.
Okay,
Wanda.
Minister to respond. You will also appreciate that correctional services has been responding, and they are not here today.
Exactly.
But I will allow the minister to give you a response, but you will not get any comprehensive response that you will expect from correctional services.
Thanks, Gay Davis, Independent.
Let's respond first. We'll come back.
Well, as you know, that the process is in place already, and the members of the DSO have been relocated. What is happening now are the practical implementation thereof, and the head will be appointed soon, as we said, within consultation with the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs. But as we indicated during the State of the Nation address, earlier on, that this has been prioritized as a matter of urgency. So we should, within a month, know the head of the union. On the impending strike of the VIP, when I've seen that in the media myself this morning, I heard that there is going to be such a thing. And I think the Labor Relations Act allows people to strike. But what I know is that the police have to exhaust internal procedures like everybody else. I have not heard from the head of the division that there has been such a huge complaint. The National Commission, I guess, we meet almost on a daily basis. I have not heard also from them. So we are watching what is happening on the, in the media out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The first question was whether we will, when shall we allow people to hand over their passport, the current passport. Obviously, it will not be done. As people come in to apply for passports, we will then introduce the new passport. But secondly, I'm sure the question is going to be, what about the system? If you are able to scan the current passport, you will be able to scan the passport which you are about to introduce. So the issue of harmonization of systems, the is not going to be a problem. There are discussions by people who are dealing with the issue with other agencies in other countries. Security features. What are the security features of the new passport? Obviously, I don't think there's any country, really, which has ever, why should I call it security features then if I'm able to go out to the public and divulge what the security features are, or the watermark of the new passport? That is information privy to immigration officer, sitting here as members of cabinet. We are equally ignorant of that threat. So we don't know what the security features of the new passport are going to be. However, we have confidence that the people who designed the new passport know what they are doing and will then trust that they will take decisions for us. So we will not at any point come out in the public to divulge what the features of the new passport are. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning. In relation to the question regarding the parole of Shabir Sheikh, the parole has been granted in terms of Section 79 of the Correctional Services Act by a parole board which considered whether indeed there was a person who was in the last phase of terminal illness. I think perhaps one should preface my remarks in terms of the phenomenon itself. Is it an unusual phenomenon that occurs regularly? Last year there were 70 inmates that were granted parole in terms of Section 79. This year there were 54 inmates that were granted parole. So it's not an unprecedented event. It is a responsibility that is carried out by the parole board without the interference of the executive in any manner whatsoever. However, in terms of the law, the Minister of Correctional Services has a right to review a parole. And the Minister has indeed invited the public to provide them with substantial evidence should there be sufficient grounds. What he has to do is satisfy himself that in terms of the process and the substantive issues, there has been due compliance with the law. So if at all there is evidence that invitation has been extended to the public, and given the media interest and indeed the public interest in the matter, I do believe that if there are issues that the public or any sector wishes to raise, they are invited to do so. The Minister has indicated, however, that given the evidence that has been put before him in relation to the proceedings, he satisfied the due process was followed, and he has, at this point in time, no cause to direct a review of the decision of the federal court. I hope that helps. Thank you very much.
Sorry, with respect, Minister, the question was more a philosophical one. If we have enough, the public have enough to put a guy behind bars for 15 years, surely we have enough right to know why you're letting him go. And everything is kept secret, so how the hell are the public going to get the information to make representations?
Well, you know, I'll be very cautious about my use of language and saying how the hell, you know, there's a state of mind at this position.
I apologize.
Transparency and accountability, I do believe the public has a right to know what are the grounds, and in fact, one has to basically answer this both philosophically and constitutionally. Constitutionally, we have a right, the right which everybody has to privacy. Does the state or an organ of state have the right to disclose private information of any citizen? So one has to balance that right against the public interest and accountability. And I do believe information that is of sufficient nature that could indicate to the public the broad term of grounds of the release is necessary. And if at all there is evidence that suggests that indeed the grounds for release or the decision itself was tainted in some way or the other, I do believe that representation should be made to the Minister for due consideration. I do not believe that the private and medical details of any citizen should fall within the ambit of purview of the public. I mean, that's a constitutionally protected right. So how you manage to balance that right? So there would be a disclosure, but would be the disclosure be of a nature that exposes completely the private condition of a patient without his or her consent? We had a very similar situation in the preceding question to the Minister of Home Affairs. A question was asked, and quite a legitimate question, what are the security features? What makes the passport
more less vulnerable to fraud. Now, certainly that information could be provided, has been provided to cabinet. I certainly am aware of the features, very impressive, I must say. But do we disclose that information in the public interest? Yes or no? You know, so the question is, there is a limitation to all rights, and I do believe in the context of this, the minister would have to make the appropriate decision. It's unfortunate that he's not here, but it would have been. It's certainly a question of balancing the public interest, the right to know, with the private interest of the individual concerned. So that's a philosophical and constitutional response. I do hope I have assisted. Thank you very much.
This is a follow-up to the former minister.
The name is Bruce Conrad from the Independent Newspaper. Minister, I feel the same.
Correctly. Are you saying that with the current platform, even those who obtain the resources would be able to use them until such time that they expire when they're getting the platform?
Next question? Sorry?
This is a question about the importance of the directly foreign communication here. If the process is that far down the line, could the minister perhaps tell us how many individuals in shortlisted for the position if the appointment is at the end of the month or within a month's time?
Let's wait for the process. The minister indicated that the public will know in a month, so we don't want to expose the information at the same compromise the process. Another question?
I just want to find out what would happen to VIP services if they do go on strike, because legally they're not allowed to. And a second question is, Cape Town sex workers are lodging a complaint against the Safety and Security Minister saying that they've been unlawfully detained. Just a response to that.
I wouldn't want to be drawn into speculation about the VIP, as I said. Any employee would expect an employee to follow internal processes, exhaust that, and so on. Where I stand, I haven't heard anything. I think the matter of Cape Town is a very specific one. What do you do if somebody kills you? I don't know. We will have to look into the merits and demerits of that issue. As I say, it's very operational, but the matter of the law, if any South African is detained unlawfully, then those who are responsible will have to face the due process of the law, even if they are police or not police or whatever. And they have to face that. And then relate to the case itself, we will see, we will cross that bridge on the other.
Thank you very much. Well, let me start with the report which was given by the Minister of Justice. When indicated that they are aware of they are aware of the watermark and hence aware of some of the security systems, but not everything. So there is no contradiction, but also ways of having the forgery and defrauding by people to try and lay their hands on and to do those factors. We hope that it will come to the end. Most of all, are we going to allow people to continue using the fraudulent passport? You and I sitting here, we don't know who has the fraudulent passport in their possession. That's my starting point. They keep on trying their luck. They are being arrested every day. And of course, that's the point when the person then wants to use the passport, that's when you can intercept that sector. Okay. So if there are any people who have fraudulent passports in their possession and will want to travel, obviously we will be able to intercept those people, but not only us here, even in countries with which we cooperate, they will be detected that this one is a fraudulent passport, because we work closely together and obviously immigration officers with the harmonized system will be able to detect a fraudulent passport or even a passport that has been legally acquired and designated for. However, by a person should never have had that passport. I also need to refer you to some of the things which we have announced around the turnaround, including the online verification of fingerprints, which is a system we never had in the past, but we now have a system who can easily say with your passport and you produce it, check your fingerprints, and if your fingerprints don't match or they don't come out from the AFIS system or the HANI system which we have, then obviously you have to pose a few questions to try and find out where you access it. So there are many, many ways we devise to try and intercept elements who are utilizing our passports. We should never intercept them to acquire those documents or access those documents. It's what we have done to make it so. We announced the online verification of fingerprints last year. So if you've been following some of the at least the positive things which we have put in place for the turnaround process, you will know that amongst the online verification of fingerprints.
Thanks, Minister. Going back to Cape Town. Three questions.
Thanks, Gay Davis, Independent Newspapers. I wonder if you can tell us why the Minister of Correctional Services isn't present today. And secondly, there was a headline this week saying that new legislation would be brought to give laws to help combat crime bite. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, I can answer the question of the Minister of Correctional Services. Unfortunately, we could not join us because of the higher commission. So that one is not, but not to make sure that we don't respond to your question.
Minister, Setwa, Pieter de Toy from Beeld. Just for clarification's sake, does this now mean that the Scorpions fall under the command structure of the police? Because according to the NPA, that will only happen on a date affixed or a date determined by the President in accordance with the legislation assigned by him on the 20th of February. After that date has been gazetted, then the Scorpions will move across, and that hasn't happened yet. Thanks.
It's Liesel Steenkamp from Rapport. Minister Ntetwa, when will the new DPCI be operational? You know, when is the first day they will start working? And then just as a matter of clarity from Minister Sirti, you mentioned 70 inmates were released last year. Are you talking about in terms of financial years, or did you mean 2008 and then 54 were released since January this year? Can you just clarify that, please? Thanks.
Okay, we'll get the responses and we'll come back to you. We'll come back to the question. Michael, do you want to have the last line?
Well, I have a follow-up to that very question. The 70 and 50. I wondered how many of them are dead.
On the laws, we are always and constantly looking at the ways and means of strengthening whatever laws we have, so that we fight the perception, real or unreal, that some of our laws do favor or are not in favor of law-abiding citizens. There are some such laws which has been brought to our attention. If you take, for instance, the fight government has against women and children abuse, the Criminal Procedure Act on that section particularly, as it stands now, needs to be strengthened. I'm just making that an example. Because if a police official is sick, that there is an abuser in a particular house, all the police can do is to go there and may only enter if allowed to by an occupant, even if it means that occupant is an abuser. So it's such things which have to be strengthened so that they fight everywhere. The issue of the relocation of the DSO is a process. You understand that there is a whole host of things which are being done. Currently this week there is a road show where the task team is visiting provinces to check on the assets and all other things that we have. There is a whole process of rationalizing the human resource side of things. There's going to be a whole process of vetting people and so on. But the process has started officially. What would be happening on the 6th day would be the actual implementation of what we're supposed to do. So this is a process which is not going to be long, as it were. And the operation will then commence immediately after the 6th day by side of the day. Thank you. Thank you very much. With regards to, firstly, I must apologize. The figures that I've given to you were indeed correct, but they apply to the calendar year or the academic year 2007 and 2008. This year is just about done, so there was a slight error, inadvertent error then. With regards, and you might be surprised, 36% of those that were released have passed on. So that's the figure that has been provided to me. I could also indicate to you that deaths by natural causes in 2004 were 1,689, and it declined quite dramatically in 2008 to 981. This too is not acceptable, but certainly is a 42% decline. So I hope that helps in terms of the clarification. So clearly it's not the financial year, it's the calendar year or the academic year, and it applies to the 2 years respectively, that's 2007 and 2008. Thank you.
Minister Ntetwa, just does the Scorpions now fall under the command structure of the police? Was what I asked.
I know you no longer have Scorpions. They are with the police as we speak. As I said, in terms of the actual implementation of the program, that would be dependent on the state officials, which is going to be very soon. But the fact of the matter is that they you no longer have Scorpions.
So they don't exist.
Also,
they don't exist at all.
They don't.
Thank you, Mr. for the clarity. Final questions. We'll take the last round from Victoria, then we'll take the last round from Victoria.
This is
concrete
as well. Is this
the question has to do with Minister. I was wondering a while back the portfolio assessment for safety and security indicated that she was going to escalate the whole issue around torture from especially the so-called organized crime unit from throughout the country that the ITD reported. I was just wondering if it has been escalated to you and what do you plan to do around police using of these elements.
Just again for clarity, the Minister said just now that Scorpions don't exist. Okay. So how does one then refer to the guys that keep finding walls that are still doing the prosecutions and some investigations that obviously continue?
Let me take another round from Cape Town.
Okay, Bengal.
Minister, my question is to the intelligence minister Ngobele as
identify
well.
Identify yourself.
Sorry, Wendell from Reuters. Minister Ngobele and also to a lesser extent Minister Mthethwa. In connection with the elections, have there been any intelligence obtained by your service regarding threats to the elections? And I'm looking specifically at KZN. And the reason I'm asking is because the intelligence services came under a huge amount of criticism after the xenophobic attacks. It was a reactionary, it was late. Now, what is going to be different now? Are you guys certain that you will be able to get anything? Minister Castles did indicate that there's not enough spooks to go around to all the bars and the hostels previously.
Sorry, it's Wyndham Hartley again. First off, apologies to Minister Sirti for my intemperate language. Second question, I understand that the South African government has been asked to assist in combating piracy on the east coast of Africa, and given, Minister Mthethwa, that you mentioned defense matters in your opening remarks, could you tell me why we haven't done so?
Just last one, please.
Minister Mthethwa, according to the legislation passed, which was signed by the President on the 20th of February, the Scorpions exist up until a date determined by the President, and after that date has been gazetted. So technically then, this might not be legal, what you're telling us now.
Talking about technicality, I have said that this is a process, and the cases which doctors have been dealing with, we said from the initial that those are not going to be disturbed, they will continue doing what they're supposed to do. As we see, they have relocated to the SAPS, they are under SAPS. In terms of the actual operation that I said earlier on, it would be dependent on the 60 by the president. And I said, currently you have a joint task team which is working on the actual implementation towards the 60 itself. So what that means is that in terms of the law, you have a DSO having been relocated to the SAPS. The issue of the police currently, as we refer to them as police service, have adopted in the new dispensation a culture of human rights. So the mentality of peace and honor is not part of the new dispensation. That is why we have emphasized that nobody has a right to violate anybody's right. Nobody has the right to assault anyone. That includes the police and the staff. If such things happen, police are taking action on that. But if there is no action which is taken, matters, as you know, are referred to ICC. What was said on that one is that we agree with the portfolio committee that there has to be some strengthening of the head of the ICC itself, so that it's not seen as one of the structures which are not doing what they are supposed to do then because of the act itself. We've answered the cases which are still being
on the first one, on the elections, as you may be aware that this cluster, we've got a responsibility to assist in protecting the elections and ensuring that at least the IEC ensures that they are fair and free and fair elections. And in this regard, we do have structures working very hard, intelligence structures, speaking with intelligence, but that's what guides the deployment by the law enforcement agencies in hotspots, in areas which are in trouble. So we are quite confident we have got all systems in place. We have got all the joint at the provincial level, at the local level, at the national level, functioning. And what is more critical is that it's not only in KwaZulu-Natal, but we're focusing in all areas where there are potential problems. And there is a plan to ensure that we deploy the police, all the law enforcement agencies, the ministers, to go and cool down the temperature where they exist, so that we can have this free and fair election. And more critically, we are just calling upon all political parties to observe the code of conduct of the game and ensure that they utilize the structures within the IAC, like party lines and structures, and strengthen those structures instead of speaking through the media. Because those are the structures which are supposed to assist in ensuring that they resolve their differences. And on the question of the pirates on the west coast of Somalia, as you know, as part of AU, we are also participating in the effort to ensure that the stability in Somalia is there. As you may be aware that our forces are currently overstretched. We have got quite a number of deployments all over Africa. So that's the reason really we have not really participated in that type of deployment. And we will be guided by the AU staff and FADEC in terms of those deployments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. We've come to the end. But I'll also indicate that the next briefing will be the social class on Monday in the same room at 9 o'clock. Thank you very much.
First name that is the Minister of Intelligence. You can Google it. And he's the most dangerous. And I think for the other ministers as well, in terms of spelling and whatever. You can just Google it.